So tonight, we're just going to talk a little bit. I want to talk to you. The theme for every Wednesday night is empowered. And I don't know about you, but every month, first Wednesday, there's going to be some version of how you can be empowered to walk in your relationship with God, to walk out the calling that He has on your life. Last month, we talked about the empowerment of doing things decently and in order, the power of order and how God works through order. If you look at the tabernacle, how order was set up, you went from the courts to the outer court, the inner court, the holy place, the holy of holies, and you looked and saw how every step of the way, we looked at how you got more empowered by God. And if you do that order the right way, it's a beautiful thing. So order is critical. It's huge. Tonight, I want to talk with you about the power of the church. Everybody say power. Power. Come on, say power with me. Power. Make me feel good. Make me feel right. I want to make sure that we get this across. I don't know about you. I want to talk to you about our local church. You might have been coming here for years. You might have been coming here for a few months, and you might not know about the power and structure of the local church, specifically our church. So I'm going to kind of go on a general view, look at some scriptures, and then we're going to focus in on the beauty and significance of our church and how you can tap in to the power that God has here for you. And I think that's critical. Nights like tonight, that's a Holy Spirit divinely inspired, hey, God has something for you. When we sense God moving, we're going to be sensitive to His Spirit. That's a uniqueness of our local church. That you might not find that every church that you go to, and that's okay. They're different. They function in different ways. But for us, there's some uniquenesses that make us who we are, and you might have picked up on those implicitly, but I want to be explicit with what God says about His church. So number one, God's instrument in the world is the local church. When you look Old Testament, New Testament, particularly the New Testament, when Jesus set up the New Testament church, He looked at Peter and He said, upon this rock, that revelation, I will build my, not parachurch ministry, not televangelist ministry, not feed the children, although those are all awesome things. I'm not saying anything bad about them. But He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we know that the church ultimately has the win. It ultimately is guaranteed that it will win in the world. Why? Because God said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I can tell you right now, when you come up against the gates of hell, you're real thankful that Jesus said they will not prevail against it, because some stuff is out there and some stuff happens. And if you've ever bumped into it, you know, whether that be demonic or just oppression, you know that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of Almighty God. And by the way, the church is not the building, it's not the steeple. When you open it up, it's all of the people. The church is the people. So it's God's instrument in the world. Jesus came to establish the kingdom of God. He said, I've come to establish the kingdom, and if I cast out demons by the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God has come to you. So Jesus came to establish a kingdom, and He came to build a church. And so when He came to establish His kingdom, how He envisioned His work continuing was through the Holy Spirit and the local church. The local church by the Holy Spirit. Now, we are all a part of a much bigger church. I have friends that are in all different denominations pastorally. But I want to tell you, that's the universal church. We're a part of that. But when it comes to your local church, how many of you know that you are called to a local church? There is a place that you're to put roots down. A couple of you. Raise your hand if you know that. I just want to make sure you got that. Okay, that's good. I don't want to assume anything now. So we're going to go through this. God, Jesus calls the church the bride of Christ, so it's His bride. I don't know about you. Any ladies in the church been married before? Okay. If you've been married, then you can imagine what your wedding day was like and all of the preparation that went into that so that you were how you wanted to be. And the centerpieces were how you wanted them to be, and the colors were how you wanted them to be. And no matter what, you wanted it to be right. Jesus said that He's coming for a church, a bride that is without spot or wrinkle, without blemish, which means that he has an idea of how you and I are supposed to look. How we're supposed to look, how we're supposed to function. So there's a bride involved. He loves his bride. He is passionate about his bride. I hate it when people bash the church. I mean the universal church. When they talk bad about God's bride. I can tell you what, we're going to be friends, but you talk about my wife, it's going to be hard on you. You know? When we talk about the wife, the bride of Christ, it does a disservice to everybody. It doesn't help anybody, and it grieves God's heart. There are problems in the church, no doubt. There are some churches teaching things that should not be taught. There are some churches that are not, that have left sound doctrine in this day and age. There are theology schools that are not doing what they should be doing in terms of commissioning leaders and pastors. But I can tell you that God is coming for a church without spot and without wrinkle, okay? So don't get wrinkled, don't get fuzzy, don't get distracted, okay? I can tell you that the hope of the church is not in Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or whoever else it might be. Just want to let you know. You vote, you should vote. Vote by your values. I'm not ever going to tell you who to vote for, but you should vote. People died for you to vote. Other countries would love to vote. But I'm telling you this right now, it will not rise or fall on a person. It will rise and fall on the hope of Jesus Christ for his church. So we have to be the change that God called us to be in the world to be able to change the world. So I want to say that, number one. Number two, the scripture has a ton to say about leaders, and the Bible says when the righteous are in power, the people rejoice. Okay, so I love it when America has righteous leaders. It's great. There's nothing wrong with that. That's about as political as I get in the pulpit because that's not my lane and I like to stay in my lane. But I want to tell you right now, God called the church more than a politician to be the leadership in America. He called the church more than any other force to be the avenue and the effectiveness for change in the world. And I don't know about you, I got a text from somebody last night who had been ministering to an atheist at their work, who ended up coming to the event last night or Monday night Harvest Festival, and they said, "Oh my gosh, do all the friendly people in the world go to your church?" They were so overwhelmingly impacted by the grace and love of God. We take that for granted. You don't get that everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Just friendliness and kindness, that impacts people in the world. It's a fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, kindness. So when you look at that, you say, okay, God has called the church to be impacting. We're also not the bride of Christ, we're the body of Christ. So here's what I want to tell you. And some of you have gotten real comfortable and functioning in a spot, but I believe that God's uniquely called and qualified you to do a whole lot more than you're doing for some of you. So I want you to hear me because I want to challenge you in this fall and in this next year to get involved in an area that stretches you and an area that may even be sacrificial in service to God in the church. Why? If you look at 1 Corinthians 12, the Bible says the body is a unit. And though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. And so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks. So that's the whole ethnicity thing. I love the fact that our church is colorful, baby. We have a ton of color in our church. I love that it's ethnic. In one small group that I teach, I've got three people from Africa in it. I love it. One is from Zimbabwe. One is from South Africa. One is from Nigeria. I love that. People tell me when they visit our church, they go, "Man, I've noticed, you got a lot of people from different places in your church." And I love that. Why? Because the Bible says that we're one body, whether we're Jew or Greek. So that's all ethnic related, slave or free. That's all socioeconomic related, right? So you can come any way that you are, and we're all one body, and you each have a major part to play in God's house, and you were all given one Spirit to drink. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And if the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. So here's what I say right now. People look at what I do and go, wow, that's awesome. I wish I could do that. But I can tell you right now, I'd be in the dark and I wouldn't know how to turn the light on if Vince Wilson wasn't doing what he was doing. That's a function of the body outside of being a part of a small group and all of the things that he does. If Mike McCavanaugh was not doing what he was doing, or Troy Garrett doing what he was doing, or Karen Drader doing what she was doing, Kelly or Charlie doing what they were doing, every part plays a function. And our church has a lot of parts that are playing different functions. What I want to challenge you in tonight is, if there is something that you are not involved in, or if there is something that you feel like could stretch you, a department or area in the ministry, you need to get involved. You are not too busy. I'm telling you, I've checked your calendar. In the heavenlies, I've checked it. You're not too busy. Because the way I read the Bible, you are all supposed to play a part. Now, how would God ask you to do something that he knows you can't do? He wouldn't. He would say, hey, listen, with my help, my guidance, my strength, you can be an integral part of being the body of Christ. So if you are sitting here, I appreciate you. I love you. But please don't warm a seat. You are meant to do more than exchange oxygen for carbon dioxide and back and forth, okay? There is more for you to do. So when I look at that, and here's another thing, church, I want to help you with. The Bible says, it starts to talk about how all of us have different functions. It says at the end of this, we all have different gifts. And in the church, God has appointed apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, those having gifts of healing, those able to help others. It's a ministry of helps. Those with gifts of administration. Becca Lombardo. Amy Kennedy, just call them out right now. You run into those people, you know, there's others in the room. Gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Hello, love that. Are all prophets, apostles, teachers, or all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Here, I love this. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe some of you are supposed to be asking God to function in a gift that you have not yet. And if you would get into something that teaches you, one of our small groups that would teach you about. Pastor Steve did a great study on how to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It was awesome. If you would function in that, man, I can tell you, God will start pulling. You say, I'd really like to function in a word of knowledge. I want to be able to help people and on my job or in different places. You can do that. You can do that. That is not just for elite people. You can pray and say, God, that's not just for the apostles or the prophets. You can do that, but it should be done decently and in order and under accountability and in safety, okay? Because that's what the word says. So if you want to function in that, begin to ask God for that. Begin to pray for that and begin to look for an avenue where you can use that. Because I'm telling you, there will not be any shortage for that gift in your life or in the church. It's an important gift. All the 9 and 7. If you want to say, well, what gifts should I pray for? Tell you what, look at 1 Corinthians 12 and look at Romans 12. There are 7 and 9 gifts listed right there for you, and the Holy Spirit wants to use you to flow in them. Say, hey, you know what, Lord? I would love to have a gift of miracles or healing. God, I believe I'm called to that. Would you help me in that? And just begin to ask the Holy Spirit to flow through you in that, because you can do more. They all come from the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the function. He's the source. He's the one who works all of these. What the Bible says is so that the church may be built up and edified. It's for all of us. So I want to encourage you in that. When I look at our church, I want a church that knows the Holy Spirit, that knows how to function in the Holy Spirit, not in a weird way, not in a hooky way, not in a crazy way. I don't deal with crazy. I can't take crazy. I'll call crazy out quick. I'm just talking about you. You don't need to, bend over and chin 100 and tweet 3 times. You just need to, you got a word from the Lord, just give it to somebody. Say, hey, I believe God's going to do this in your life. This says the Lord, you know, and begin to encourage somebody. You can do that. I don't care where you are. You can do that on your job. You can do that anywhere you want. God will give you an opportunity, a venue to do that. And we should be doing those things outside of the church as well. Can I hear an amen that? Okay. So how do we see these things? How do you build through the gifts, okay? Because the Bible says we want to build the church. The Bible says the church is built through the Holy Spirit. Unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. But also he does that through the gifts. So here are some from 1 Corinthians 12. The Spirit is given for the common good to one, message of wisdom. So that's word of wisdom. Word of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith. To another, gifts of healing by that same Spirit. To another, miraculous powers and prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues, okay? All these work together for through the Holy Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So ultimately, the Holy Spirit's the source, but the Bible says, ask for these greater things. So how does that work in our local church? I believe that if you came to House of Prayer, whether it's at Westchester or Central, our whole service is prophetic. I believe that when our prayer team, our pre-service prayer team is praying, half the time they'll come and tell me, hey, you preached exactly what we prayed. You know, and I don't talk to them and they don't talk to me. They just do their thing and they're praying. That's a move of the Holy Spirit because I'm not telling them what's going on. That's prophetic. That's a when worship is happening and there's a prophetic unction, or you see something that happens here tonight, there's a prophetic unction. That's a prophetic move, God wanting to do a specific thing in our service that will help us be who he's called us to be. Those are all things. When you come up for prayer and someone lays hands on you, healing, I believe healing happened in the front today. I'm just going to wait for the reports. If you get healed, please call that in, dial that in, use the church app, do something. God did not heal you so you could keep that to yourself. Okay? But I believe he does that. When there are people up here on the prayer team, those people are prayed up, they're ready, they're loaded for bear. When they pray, when you come and you get prayer, they're going to deposit something into you. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. So I believe that all of that is the Holy Spirit. I believe our parking team is prophetic because I'm praying that God will show them the exact people that they need to talk to in a specific way. And we've had guests say this to us. Oh my gosh, that person just came up to me at the right time and did this and said this. I'm telling you, all of that, you might think it's just natural. You're flowing in the Holy Spirit. And that's good because there's a gift of hospitality and a gift of helps. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So when I see our church from front to end on a Sunday or a first Wednesday or it doesn't matter which campus or an open heavens, it's all prophetic. It is all Spirit-led, and it's designed to build up everybody in the room. Those who have not known God and those who are deep in the Lord, and you've got a great prayer time and that would rival Billy Graham's. You know, I don't know. But all in between, that is what is intended. God builds up the church through the offices, the fivefold gifting. If you look at Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, it says that he called, it's he who gave some to be apostles, say apostles. Prophets, say prophets. Evangelists, say evangelists. Pastors, teachers. That's five. That's fivefold. That's the hand. That's how God works in the world. So we use fivefold. Those are offices. They're not just, many of them are called out vocations. But if you look at the word apostle, the function of an apostle, that's a church father. It's just, you know, Paul said, you got many teachers, but you don't have a lot of fathers. When you find somebody that leads you into the Lord and teaches you the fundamentals of God, that's the work of a church dad. One that plants churches, one that goes scripturally and plants churches, one that has a fathering spirit. It actually means, the Greek means to send forth. It's one who was sent forth. So you look at Peter and Paul, they were some of the greatest apostles. The 12 that were called were apostles. Okay? So that is that gift, and it functions beautifully in the church, and it can function in this church. There are many spiritual dads in this church. A lot of them. I love them too. There's the people like the Andy Clarks who have done missions for most vast majority of their life. Great church fathers, the Steve Dysons, the people in the house that really can walk you through lovingly the challenges that you encounter in your life. There's lots of others. There's evangelists. Evangelists to me is somebody that knows how to tell somebody. Now listen, it's real easy. Can talk to somebody about Jesus and make them want to follow him by just giving them the good news. Doesn't have to be weird. They don't have to stand up on a soapbox. They don't have to preach fire and brimstone. They just know how to connect with people. And in the church, they help teach other people how to do that organically. It's not a program. It's not a thing. How many of you work in a company or a school setting or something here tonight? Everybody, a lot of you still in the workforce? Okay. You have a sphere of influence. How many of you live in a neighborhood? You don't live on 50 acres somewhere. You actually live in a neighborhood. You got a sphere of influence. How many of you have family of some kind, even if you don't want to claim them? Okay, there's that. That's another sphere of influence. You have at least, by my count, three spheres of influence to be evangelistic, right then and there. Just looking and saying, okay, God, I'm praying for this person on my job. I'm praying for this person in my family. And daggone it, that neighbor that just comes to me and talks to me at the most inopportune time drives me nuts. Praying for him too. There's three spheres of influence. Some of you might know those people. You know, they're coming up in your head right now. Pray for them. Look to be evangelistic with them. Evangelism is something that we're all called to do. It's actually, all evangelism is proclaiming good news. We're all called to do that. But the gift of an evangelist, the office of an evangelist, he knows how to build that in the house. And so there's prophet, which it means to declare. There's pastor. The word for pastor in Greek is simply shepherd. You know, if you're a pastor, then you have a heart for people. You have a heart for them to get to where you feel like God wants them to go. There are tons of these gifts, these fivefold gifts. Teacher, how many of you can remember one of the best teachers you ever had? I can remember the great teachers in my life. I can remember them. They made learning fun for me. They made it challenging, and they made it understandable. People that teach, it's a rare gift, and I love it. I love it. If you have a teaching gift, you best let us know. I mean, there is something so beautiful about somebody who can just take something so complex and not even act arrogant or haughty about it. Just be like, this is how it is. And you totally assimilate that information. Get it, know how to apply it, no thing. It's a beautiful gift, and it's rare in the church these days. I mean, the universal church. So let me tell you, here's what a church is not. A church is not a corporation. While the church has a godly structure that's instituted by the scriptures, there's no stockholders, there's no commissions. We're not a corporation. We're not a dictatorship. We're not controlling. We believe in the personal priesthood of the believer, which means we believe that you do not need a church father to speak to God for you on your behalf. While we are called to be shepherds and leaders, we are not going to control your life. We are called to give you the word, and we will help you if you come, right? That's how we do church here. If you're looking for us to knock on your door and tell you how to live, you're going to be sorely, sorely disappointed here. And at the same time, we're not an organization. I think a lot of people get that mixed up. While we're organized, more so today than we were yesterday, I hope, we are not an organization. There's a structure to our church. The Bible says, let everything be done decently and in order. But we're not an organization. So I'm going to talk with you for a few minutes about the power of the local church. And I've got about 5 minutes on this topic. And then I want to actually see the power of the local church manifested in your lives. So worship team, just go with me on this. But there's strength in numbers. And I think people in church forget this all the time. If you're going through garbage, if you're going through crud, if you're going through just stuff that makes you, ugh, eek. There's strength in numbers. There's a reason. How many do like football? I try and weave football into the gospel all the time. If I can do it, I'm going to do it. Okay? When you look at football, there's a reason that they call a penalty. They have a penalty called too many men on the field. 12 men on the field. It's one of the two. Or too many men on the field, because that team really screwed up and have 15 on there. There's a reason for that. It's because it provides an unfair advantage. Let me say that again. Too many men on the field provides an unfair advantage. Now, some of you are either too independently minded, too prideful to let people see what you're going through. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you right now, You should have too many men on the field, and you're playing the game 1 against 11. Okay? Which means that you're out there trying to do it all on your own and be Jesus-like and brave, but you're not trying to utilize the resources that are on the sidelines. And I'm going to help you here tonight, because if you get this, we're not trying to make you codependent. We're trying to make you interdependent, okay? And so I'm not trying to tell you you need to come and do all this and do all that and confess all this. I'm just simply saying that there are people around to pray for you, to help you, to comfort you, to guide you, to shepherd you, to pastor you. And if you don't, and there's tons of those leaders in the church, you know, I would probably send someone to a Randy Rokamp if they were saying, man, I'm just going through trouble in my finances. He's a great man to talk to, got a lot of godly wisdom, very non-judgmental, just loves people and wants to see them make God's best, okay? That's a great leader. That's a man on the field for you if you choose to call him on. There's a reason that there's a penalty for this kind of thing. It provides an unfair advantage. And I want you to know, when God put you in a church, he gave you an unfair advantage. Your spouse is going through something? Come on, call for the elders of the church. Get people together. Say, hey, we want to lift them up. We're going to pray for them. They might need counseling. They might need help. They might need prayer. We can't counsel for everything. Some things, you know, we refer out for. But I just want to tell you, that's an important function, and there are people on the field for you if you want to use them. You can play the game by yourself, and that's okay. Here's what the Bible says. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. There's a divine synergy that happens when believers get together, okay? Now 5, if you, I like math, I like numbers. So 5 to 100 is a multiplier of 20, okay? Multiplier of 20. So right then and there, when 5 believers say we're getting together, then that means that 100 demons got to get out of the way. Okay? Now, when I do this math again, it says 100 shall put 10,000 to flight. Now, that isn't a multiple of 20. That would be 2,000. When you get 100 believers together, now it's a multiplier of 100. Okay? So you just went from 20 to 100, which tells me that in the kingdom, more people is a bigger party. More people has a greater impact. So the more people that you get in your tribe, the more people that you can be transparent with, the more people that you can be accountable to, the more people that you can get as your prayer resource, the greater advantage you will have at becoming an overcomer and victorious in God's sight. Okay? The God did that for a reason, and it wasn't just to be poetic and cute. He was trying to tell us, hey, there's a synergy that happens. And he does it this way, he says, even if there's just 2, forget 5. Even if there's just 2, I can do something great. He said 2, even or 3. If you want to throw 3 in there, you know? A three-fold cord is not easily broken. So there's a synergy there. And guys, I got to tell you, I think we got the best church around. So you can go to some people and say, hey, listen, I need victory. I'm in this season right now, and I need some major victory in my life. I need some major breakthrough. I need some major encouragement. I need some major help. How about this one? I love this verse, healing. James 5:17. Or 14 through 17 says, is any one of you in trouble? Yeah, I've been there before. He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any of you sick? Here's one area that it doesn't say you should. It said, it doesn't involve one, it involves multiple. He said, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up, and if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. That's a powerful, powerful verse. It says, hold on, therefore, so in light of that, do this. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. You know why one of the reasons gossip is so detrimental is because it robs the church of the power of unity and the power of grace. Because people won't trust those that gossip. So here's how this works. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you might be healed. So there's healing that's accessed when I just confess, hey, this is what I'm going through, this is what I've done, and I ask for people to come and pray for healing for me, praying for me. And it says, and here's the verse that we love to quote, the prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I learned it in the King James. In the NIV, it says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So I know right there that confession unlocks something, that it unlocks a grace and it unlocks a power that really the church has at its disposal. God gave it to the church. God wants the church to use it. And if we just unlock that thing and say, hey, listen, this is what I'm going through. I can't get out of this stinking relationship that I'm in. It's toxic. Or whatever it might be if you're dating, or I've got this issue over here, or I am ensnared in pornography, or I'm dealing with addiction, listen, you got to have people to go to. And God did not call you to get that ball down the field on your own. And it can even hinder your healing. So these are the things that I think, listen, one of the greatest benefits that the church, that God affords the church, is covering in authority, covering in accountability. I don't know about you, but one of the reasons Weight Watchers is the most effective dietary plan on the planet is you got to weigh in. You know you're going to pay on the scale. And you're going to be accountable. And they're going to look at you and go, what are you going to do this week? There's a plan in place. Listen, accountability is only good as the one that wants it. So when you go, you say, hey, listen, there's covering, there's spiritual authority, there's guidance. I don't want to know all your stuff. I don't even want to get that involved. We got enough stuff to deal with. But if you're going through something and you need help, there's a spiritual authority for a reason. If you just look, I don't have time to go through all of it, but if you look at Romans 13 and Hebrews 13, you're going to find that God places you in a church to cover you, that there's an accountability and an authority that covers your life. And if you honor that, then you're protected from a lot of junk. Just say it that way. I'll read this one. It says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. So there's a policy and there's a pattern where we can graciously and lovingly say, hey, what you're doing, you can do it. It's going to hurt you, though. If you come under authority, you come under accountability, then you will be saved from that bad decision, that bad mistake, that bad thing. Don't, if you want to look at the uniqueness of our church, we have a plurality of leadership. There were 12 apostles. They helped lead the church. Peter, James, and John specifically helped with that. We have a plurality of leadership. And you should know that. The Bible says the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. God built in accountability from day one in the new church, in the New Testament church. So we have that here. We have trustee boards, and I love all of them. They're amazing. I've never had one cross word with one of them. They're incredible. We also have a board. We also have core leaders, and we have ministry leaders. We have all church leaders. We have about 4 or 5 layers of leadership in this church that help. We're all in it together. It's not a one-man band. It's not a one-man show. We believe in working together and building unity. I believe that that's God's best for us. The Bible says that God chooses those people. He teaches, he uses these people to teach and give doctrine, financial direction even. He imparts and he uses them to impart and commission and to help with standards and guidelines, okay? All of these things. And we don't have time to go through all of them. So I want to help with this last thing. Right here. And we'll close. The power of the local church. I'm gonna get down for a minute because I feel like it's too formal up there. The power of the local church is to help you break through. You will all come up against, I have come up against places that don't seem to be able to get through, just like walls. And the power of the local church is to help you break through when you can't on your own. It's there to help you get to the next level. We're here to help you get to the next season. I say we, I mean the church. Not me or a paid staff person or whatever. No. It doesn't work like that in the kingdom. In the kingdom, we are here to help you do that. And if you know that there's safety and accountability, there's safety and covering, if you know that there are people who are there for you, if you know that, gosh, I can access healing, I can access unity, I can access blessing, I can access grace, I can access all these things. Actually, the church is supposed to be the restorative power of God in the world. When you look at the church, it communicates. We don't talk about this a whole lot because we're not high church. High church knows this. If you're Catholic or denominational before you came here, you kind of get this teaching early on in the catechism. But when you look, it communicates the grace of God and the restorative power of God through in the world. So there are people who have fallen down. And if the church picks them up, man, there's a grace that's released in their life. You look at things that even our church has been through. We were able back in June to lift somebody up who had fallen. We're able to extend grace. I believe that has everything to do with us and nothing to do with the person. It's a test of God on us. Are we able to extend grace? Are we able to extend strength? Are we able to extend forgiveness? Are we able to lift somebody up through the power of God? And that is the role of the church. So if you're sitting here tonight and you need breakthrough, man, we're just going to be real. I'm telling you, next month, this place is going to be packed on Wednesday for a lot of reasons. But I want this month, this is good and intimate right here, right now. Here's what I want to do. I want you to stand up with me as we close. And I just want you to do this. We prayed for healing. Here's what I'm going to do now. I would like to ask all of you to just come right up here in the altar, okay? Just real quick, right at the front of the auditorium, right by me, because we're all family here anyway, right? And I want to do something real quick, okay?